You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at wearelibertarians.com.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey, Christy asked, are we doing low-key tonight? Of course. Of course we're doing low-key tonight. Hey, everybody. It's Harry again. Still feeling under the weather. That's why I didn't do Wall yesterday. And I am still not even feeling the best right now. And I'm getting ready to dose back up here. I'll have to dose midway the show. I'm okay. I'm walking around. I can breathe. And I'm got out of my NyQuil-induced coma. But, you know, still, you know, not totally all the way there yet. Still, you know, still feeling the effects. Usually when I have a cold, I like to stay inside my NyQuil-induced coma. I just wake up, go back to sleep, wake up, go back to sleep, do it for a few, stay up for a little bit, you know, just to get my bounds, look at the news, and see what the heck is going on, and keep going back and forth. And you go right back in the NyQuil-induced comas that I go into when I'm sick, because it's what I do. Because if I'm up and awake while I am sick, I have this insatiable hunger. I eat a lot of food. Most people don't eat when they're sick. I, on the hand, eat everything I get my hands onto. Pie, cakes, I'll make food just to make it, just to eat it. I love eating food when I'm sick. It's one of the main times you'll see me really, just smash a whole bunch of food. It's when I'm sick. And that's how I also know that I'm getting sick, because I keep wanting to eat. I don't stop eating. I just want food. And it's like, okay, I think I'm going to get sick. There's other things, too, that probably a little bit more TMI that, gives me, cues and stuff on my body. Just knowing my body and how it reacts and how I know I'm getting sick. So I like to take precautions, you know. Of course, I try to deny it, you know, I'm not getting sick. It's possible. Got too much stuff, in front of me, or I've got too much stuff to do, so I try to push through it. But I've learned to not push through it, stop, wait, you know, just wait it out, feel better, and, you know, eventually just go ahead and, you know, meet on through. That being said, I'm probably going to keep this one probably short and sweet, because, like I said, I do kind of just, I don't feel like talking that much, because my throat still hurts, and I don't have that much air, so, you know, I was kind of hoping, hey, Wicked Kinder, so please bear with me if I have, long pauses, or if I have to hit the mic dump button because coughing. Also, if I forget to hit that button, I also apologize. I am pulling through. I'm at the last end of this call, and by God, I can feel it, and I'm almost at the end point. You know, I'm getting there. So thank you for all those that are watching. Thank you to people that are rooting for me and messaging me through different varying apps. You know, making sure I'm okay. Don't worry. I have plenty of drugs at the house. Not a sponsor, by the way. I do NyQuil and Alka-Seltzer. It's what I do. I just chug every 2 hours. I do a drug and I just stay in this coma. Today's Pi Day. So it's the 3.1. 3.14. If you write your days out like this, so 3.14.118, which technically not the other digits of pi, but it's close enough. There's nothing like the real pi day, which was for 3.141 2015, when it was three point one four one five. But anyways, it's pi day. So it's March 3rd, the 14th, aka 3.14, which everyone knows in the simplest forms of pi, because most people who do anything with math, 3.14 is perfectly fine for pi. Pi is basically is the originally defined as the ratio of a circle's circumference to a diameter, and it's basically at all. This is just the ratio of the circumference to the diameter. So basically, you take circle and the diameter of the circle. But anyways, but like it's a huge like this geek thing. Like I remember like going up in like a lot of geek culture, like a lot of like the party trick was like, how many digits of pi can you memorize? You know, how far in pi can you go? And you would get these people that would go to events that could go like out, just like all these different number of pi. You sit there, just you're fact checking them. I was like, wow, I can't really memorize pi to this point. Yeah, you know, I used to think it was cool when I was younger, and then then laptops and netbooks got smaller, and I go like, that's cool and all, but I got that right here, man. I never really needed pi that, to those extent that number's out there for that type of precise numbers. So, that's me. Other people that need it, cool, you physics and stuff like that, you needed it out there. But anyways, but yeah, so it's pi day. A lot of people like to celebrate pi, talk about different nerdy things all day. I did it to myself. I had pizza for lunch. Like I said, unsatiable hunger. I know it's carby and it's such crap, but hey, it's pi day. I also had pie. I had Oreo cream cookie pie. I'm gonna have some more pie when I leave here today. I love pies. Pies are like pies and cakes. I love the stuff, love the food, but it's really bad for you. So, I like taking a small burst. But anyway, I'm probably going to have pie after this. I'm going to enjoy that pie. Started sort of laughing in my own head. I started thinking of like the whole The Rock pie talk. There's all kinds of pie. I'm not doing that. My throat hurts. Sorry. Oh, man. I even tried. Sorry. Oh. Sorry. I'm going to feel better one of these days. I swear. And be able to, because it's not really. Alright, so other nerdy thing in the news today that I'm sure ever you guys have saw about and woke up to, because I woke up to this morning and Stephen Hawking, Stephen Hawking is dead at age 76. So it stinks. He was I'm not gonna kid myself and be one of these people that are like those like the fake intellectuals that like to spout off a lot of different of his theories and stuff like this. Now that he's dead, especially trying to remember the stuff that he's did, because to be perfectly honest, like that's not my branch of science, and I could kind of get what he was getting to, but it's not, since it's not my branch of science, most of that stuff goes way over my head. And most people are like, oh, come on, Harry, like, come on. Most of the stuff he would talk about goes way over your freaking head, too, unless you're really in that field. But he was one of the, like, just like Neil deGrasse Tyson and a lot of the other scientists, you're noticing that he was very much in the public sector, and that he also had a great sense of humor, and he was also always trying to, like, always feel like he was trying to, like, a lot of the scientists were trying to bridge the gap to us non, like, if that wasn't your science, so it was kind of like the plumber physicist, you know, they're just trying to bridge that gap that, yes, you can be in this field too, you just have to concentrate and study into it. But I took that as that I went to a different field. I do computers, and that's what I do, and I'm not even saying like I'm huge computer scientists, there's just huge computer scientists that are smarter than I am. And but the thing is, like I said, like his big humor, like he would go on to different shows, like he was on Star Trek, he did Big Bang Theory, he put himself on Futurama, The Simpsons, so it was like, you know, like he understood like the big brain and the intelligence that he did have. He also understood that, you know, but he, like I said, he always had a sense of humor, joked about himself, even joked about his own condition. Even though he had, like, he had made some quirks about running over people's toes and stuff like that. The sucky thing is, like, what does happen when someone like this, that does have a sense of humor, that did have a public light like that, is that a lot of people like to bring up a lot of the bad stuff that he did after he did. It's like, come on, the guy had a lot of great accomplishments. Was he perfect? Heck no, nobody is. Which the only thing that kind of shocked me is like, hey, you know, like when I go, if someone's going to bring out like some of the bad things that I did, that's the only thing they want to talk about on the day that I die, that freaking sucks. You know, even though like, especially like, you know, if someone wants to bring up the bad accomplishments of Stephen Hawking, like some bad stuff on the day that he died, and he's done so much, you know, what's the chance the rest of us got? Alright, that being said, so rest in peace, Stephen Hawking. Like I said, yes, I am going fast through this because I'm, like I said, can't really talk, can't really breathe, so I'm gonna I'm hustling and bustling through this thing. The one thing I have been reading today, because like today's also another good day for me because I also had the report for I took Gunther to the Nika today to get her 10-month checkup from or 8-month out of the neonatal intensive care unit, which great checkup. Everything's on task. The only thing she's still going behind on is crawling. She still isn't really crawling properly yet. She's doing like this whole 3-point head crawl where she's on her feet and she's like bridging and using that kind of like crab walk backwards to crawl with, which it's a bad habit. We're trying to correct it from her. We're going to get some we did get the recommendation for physical therapy, so we're probably going to use that to go with the insurance company to go get some physical therapy for her. So gangbusters on that. But anyways, the thing that has been blowing my mind this whole thing right here is this is probably only going to protect people who uses Windows and people who uses BitTorrent. But this should scare anybody just for the way that this attack was done. Here, I'll bring it up. All right, so Trojanized BitTorrent software hijacked 400,000 PCs last week. Yeah, so apparently MediaGit, a BitTorrent client, got someone did basically they got in the way of their update, so the update server, and they tricked a bunch of the media client when they were asking for the update to go to their own different client here and upload their malware into it to put a Trojan backdoor to put in a Bitcoin mining software at the backside of it and started to slow down a bunch of different people's machines to mine Bitcoins. Usually, like I said, like you can... I did not know Hawking's also sang in a Pink Floyd song. Oh, wow, I didn't know that. Did not know that. Oh, wow. All right, I'm dropping the knowledge. Of course, I'm not a huge Pink Floyd head. Sorry. Where was I?
It was a good song.
You've been there. What? How long have you been there?
What up?
How many of you guys are in this here talking? You guys have just been sitting there listening to me like die with my voice. I remember like dying.
Well, like I tried to go to the We Are Libertarians stream and I saw Daryl Perry and I was like, oh no, close.
Do you not like the establishment anarchist? Anyways, yeah, back on point. Anyways, okay, so you guys have apparently been there sitting in the backdrop. I didn't even know you guys were there. Just been in this fog. But anyways, so like, I don't know if you guys see this link from the hackers. I'll drop it here in the Twitch stream there, what I'm talking about. Which is, it's a pretty cool hack because like, because it's more of the same thing that happened to CC Cleaner last week, and it's probably affecting a lot of different more machines like that, where they, you know, get certificate signed to like go back to install backdoors on like Mac on people's machines just getting updates, which sucks because usually, like, the thing that protects you for most malware or most viruses, hey, update your machine, just update your freaking machine. And, you know, but this is just, you know, probably bad practices inside the media git.exe update process. Because they probably, you know, granted, it's a BitTorrent client, so they don't probably have the massive, the staff that looks over each time they publish an update or look at all the code, and eventually someone's going to go find a backdoor to do something. So one thing you could always protect yourself from something like this, for if you got to download BitTorrent or you're going to use software that, you know, doesn't have a huge much of, like, you know, support staff on it, and open up a virtual machine and run it in the virtual machine and just bring over the software that you need from there. What do you guys think? Or is this all new to you, Reinhold and Nies? Reinhold has derailed low-key water, and everyone wants to talk about this Pink Floyd song of Stephen Hawking's. That's where the chat has gone. Reinhold? Nies? Anybody? All right, so I think I'm alone again.
Oh, there we are. Okay. I was actually in a virtual machine and trying to talk, and it wasn't accepting my push to talk because of the isolation that I have, as we were talking about that exact same thing. So yeah, we need isolation from applications, obviously. So one of the earliest ways of doing it is virtual machines, that it helps isolate your computer from, you know, potentially dangerous software like this. But as Docker and those types of technologies become more prevalent, we're going to start seeing a lot more isolation of applications, much more than they are now.
Oh yeah.
The problem is how do these applications then talk to each other in a secure way? That's going to become the challenge. But we still need to do something to have your computer have your secure known software on it, and then everything else you want to run in an isolated environment or a VM or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. I think, like, one thing they did was talk about, like, Windows Defender was able to pick it up so it didn't get too large, because a lot of the downloads and everything was happening because the monitoring base that Windows Defender does notice, like, this, a lot of the stuff that it was downloading and working on was outside the ordinary. So it kind of, like, oh no, this is outside the ordinary. So this type of stuff, that's where it's really good for your, like, you know, like, your antivirus software or your intrusion detection and prevention system. Like, hey, if they've been up there and they know what your network is supposed to be doing and it starts doing something weird, you know, this is when red flags are going up. So, like, you know, getting a good baseline of what your network is supposed to do also helps too. But when it comes to, like, isn't it that new version of Windows 10, like, where everything is supposed to come through the Windows Store to put everything in its own little sandbox?
Windows S is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So it's really kind of a reimagining of the initial Surface version of Windows that was only, you could only run Windows Store applications.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with that is that Windows has got such a long history and rich ecosystem of applications that are not going to be finding their way into the store anytime soon. There's just millions and millions and millions of them. It's just not going to happen. So that's something that they're not going to be able to take any kind of control over right away. But it does provide for an opportunity if we were able to start from now going forward and do everything in that store type of framework. There's a lot more of that isolation. And Docker is getting built into Windows 10, and it's already there. So there's all this stuff that Windows is trying to do to help protect everybody, making them patch their software, for instance. I mean, if people weren't patching their OSs like they weren't before with Windows 7 and other older versions, this stuff would have started propagating a lot easier, right? So the fact that they are getting forced updates does help this, you know, this situation.
Yep.
You say Windows Defender found it, so, I mean, let's give the credit where credit's due. They are trying
hey,
to do what they can.
Windows Defender is a badass antivirus, okay? Windows Defender is badass just because there's so many people using Windows Defender. It kind of, you know, it's, you know, if your Windows 10 is doing something different than any other Windows 10 device that it's out there, Windows Defender is going to pick it up.
Well, and that's the thing, too, is that if so many people are using Windows Defender, they're taking that information, and everybody was crying, spyware, but they're taking that information and they're not selling it. They don't have a division at Microsoft that sells that data anymore.
Right.
So they're only doing that. They're keeping that information internally, but they're using it to fine-tune Defender to make it better, yeah, and to find these things and to help other people. If somebody's got caught, they can immediately blast out to Defender updates to get everybody else protected.
Right, yeah. Defender updates or Windows 10, you know, or, yeah, quick Windows 10 update. You know, like, Windows 10 is, it's good to operate. It's still Windows 8, but Windows 10 is pretty good. We'll give you that. But, yeah, that's what one of the good thing about a lot of the free antivirus software is that they use, like, that's why, like, you can tell they use a lot of their free clients just to test or just to notice what things are doing to harden out to make the better of the paid clients better. Or you know, there's a lot of the paid like antivirus softwares that are left, or they just do more than what, you know, like Windows Defender can do, or just make life easier. Especially like if you have like family and stuff like that you're watching out for, like a paid antivirus software that's pretty good is like Avast. To me, is I like using Avast because it's idiot proof for people's computers that I don't want to watch all the time, and they can pay and everything just set up for them. So it's like, you know, it's easily lets, you know, like they can pay, they get their virtual private network on when they want to do their banking on. It'll load if they want, like, well, I want to download this software and they don't want to go through the hassle of loading up a virtual machine. You can load it up through Avast sandbox, and you send it into Avast, they'll enter a sandbox, and they'll run scans on it, and they'll tell you whether or not this file is good or not. I actually did that to a file that Nice sent through on the Discord for his, I can't remember what game he sent through. I sent that straight to Avast to run it through the freaking sandbox to make sure he wasn't trying to scam us on, put back doors on our computers. You should be like, you should trust Nice. Yeah, I don't trust nobody. I should probably do that on a Friday after, like, instead of like a gaming thing, just show people how to run Docker or just like a quick virtual machines to show you guys how to, like, this is how you download something in a virtual machine and create something. Because also, like, even when in virtual machines, you got a lot of the viruses and malware that are out there. They've learned ways that people are doing this in a virtual machine. So you've got to be able to give the machine more cores than just one single core. You have to give it at least 2 or 4 cores, which some of you AMD people may have a problem giving something 4 cores. Sorry, AMD.
Well, the other thing too is if you remember the ransomware that hit really big,
mm-hmm,
last year.
Yeah.
One thing they noticed that was when they put the software into a virtual machine that was isolated, the ransomware wouldn't activate, because the ransomware would then require the client be able to go to the internet, look up a specific DNS entry that was hidden that nobody was going to be looking for, and only then would it then acknowledge the fact that it was on the internet and then activate.
Yeah.
So you didn't know what the payload was going to do until you actually put it out there for it to do that. So that's just one of the things that the virus writers and the ransomware writers are doing, are trying to ensure that they're not isolated in order to kick off their payloads. Now, the fact that you were isolated meant you were safe and it wasn't going to run. That was fine, but it hurt the people trying to determine what the software was doing,
right,
for a period of time until they could figure that out.
Yeah. I don't know. So, like, you know, so just goes to show you, sometimes it's better just have a backup, be able to nuke your OS from orbit and just start over, especially when you get something like this, or if you notice your machine is running slower and stuff like that, to also understand, like, what's going on with your machine, to understand, like, whoa, this thing's, yesterday was running fine, you know, I updated this thing and started running like dog crap, what the heck happened?
Well, and that's a different change, too, because remember, 10 years ago, it would be you needed to reinstall your Windows every 6 months in order for it to keep it clean, because it would always get kind of just bogged down with gunk, applications you've loaded. And it wasn't virus stuff that was causing the problem. It was just the normal flow of the way Windows works. But now people are running their systems for a year, 2 years, 3 years, because it's gotten better. It's a and gotten cleaner. And there is something to be said that maybe a lot of people in 10 years ago were running botnets and didn't know it, because the issue with the way the software was written before is that it could hide itself inside the OS layer, the ring zero layer, that you couldn't really detect it. You couldn't prevent that from happening. So a reformat was the only way to really clean that stuff out. So a lot of people could have been infected and just didn't know it then either. But with the stuff in Windows 7 on, they've isolated ring zero a lot, so there's a lot more protection on the base OS to prevent that.
You ever wonder maybe that's the main reason? Well, one of the reasons some people didn't like Windows Vista is because they brought up a lot of malware and botnets from their XP when they upgraded? Or do you think Vista still just sucks?
Most people I know didn't. So in the IT world, we always recommended against doing in-place upgrades of your OS for that reason and a lot of other reasons.
Yeah.
But now it's to the point where you can, because the upgrade process is now almost doing that for you. It lays down a new image and then copies settings over. It doesn't really do an in-place upgrade like it used to do anymore.
Yeah. Ransomware sucks.
And the other thing too, when they started locking down Ring Zero like that, all the antivirus software people got very upset, because they were hooking into that in order to run their software. So Microsoft would write APIs that they could use, but they didn't want to do that. They wanted their software. They didn't want to have to re-engineer. So they spent a lot of time yelling about it. And then they turned on, when XP first turned on the firewall with Service Pack 2, they turned on the built-in firewall. Everybody complained about that. Everybody complained about UAC, as Wicked Ender noticed, mentioned. So every time Microsoft has tried to crack down on security, users have complained. Just like with the forcing of the updates. Everybody complains about it, but in the end of the day, it's the right thing to do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's shut the heck up. Speaking of updates, wasn't there a Windows update yesterday? Second Tuesday of the month was yesterday.
How many? I know my workstation did update. I don't think I've updated my home.
How many people you think listening to us hasn't restarted their machine since that Tuesday's update? I'm going to guess majority.
Well, I got notified saying you got an update to tell us when you want to do it. So, I said, okay, do it.
When I used to support the Chromebook machines, I always get these people's like, my Chromebook is just messing up. And I walk up to their Chromebook, there's an update for Chrome, hit reset, and I reset it, get the update, and like, oh no, this machine started working correctly because there probably was a flaw in your code and they updated it, or you just needed to run an update because something was messed up, or just a simple restart. The one thing I did notice with running Docker different virtual machines is that Chrome works better in a virtual machine where you could tell it you get this many resources and suck it, okay?
Chrome likes to just glob as much as it can.
Yeah.
To make it run better.
Chrome works so much better when I give it 2 cores and only 6 gigs of RAM. Because if I just let go of my system, it will take 16 gigs of RAM, like 4 cores, and just be over there just chugging along with like 5 tabs open. I'm like, what? You're not doing anything. So why are you taking so many resources? So it's easy, to me it's easy.
I've got 32 gig memory, right? Yeah. The 16 cores. I should not have any problems running anything. I get 15 tabs open, and I'm watching like 3 or 4 YouTube channels open.
Yeah.
And they all take up video slots and all that stuff, and it starts to go. You go to, I switch over and use Edge, and it's like a third of the footprint. What's going on here?
Yeah, it's like, come on, Chrome.
Chrome has become the most bloated of the Internet Explorer type of applications. browser applications, right? I mean, Firefox was bad, but they've got a recent update that's actually made it much smaller.
Yes.
And Edge is very good in that regard. So it's Chrome now that's kind of like, you need to lose some weight there, buddy.
Firefox did redid their entire browser. Their launch that they did, that sucked. That browser that came out at launch and then month afterwards, sucked. Okay, I was so angry at that. It's so much better now.
Yeah, they fixed some of the issues.
So if you hated that version of Firefox, jump back into it, try it out again. But yeah, another thing is there's also more browsers out there than there is Chrome, Edge, and Firefox. There's more browsers. There's not as many as there used to be, but you know.
Well, you can write your own browser. If you get, you can download the free version of Microsoft Studio. And one of the things that you can do as the first training parts of that is build a browser. It's not got any functionality other than you can browse HTML sites, right? But it's so it doesn't have any, you know, support for third-party applications, a lot of stuff, extensions. But it still works as a browser. If you want to write your own, it's not that hard anymore.
I need someone to moderate the Twitch chat. Wicked Kenner just said people forget that when Internet Explorer 6 came out, it was the stuff.
Was Internet Explorer 6 was rocking.
I don't know about that.
No, I remember the fight. I remember the fight between Netscape and Internet Explorer. Right.
Yeah.
And there was a time where Internet Explorer 1.0 was really kind of basic, and Netscape had all the bells and whistles. But by the time Internet Explorer 3 came out, it had surpassed Netscape to where Netscape had IPO'd, made a bunch of money, and then they collapsed almost immediately because Microsoft was handing out Internet Explorer for free. They took it upon themselves to try to do that too. So there was this whole thing where they held a developer conference across the street from Netscape that year instead of having it in Redmond. And they took a big E that they had for their party. I guess at the end of the party, they took that and carried it over and dumped it into Netscape's fountain outside their building.
I remember using IE6, and I don't remember it being the stuff. I remember it being better, the best thing I could get my hands on at home.
Well, the problem too was, you have to remember, the real issue there was that Internet Explorer 6 worked great, but in order to really work great, the websites had to code specifically for Internet Explorer because they weren't doing standards.
Yeah.
They were doing a lot of non-standard stuff to make that faster. So it's kind of like with the video cards now where you have NVIDIA and the AMD, but then the game makers are writing special hooks that take advantage of some NVIDIA stuff that they've written in their drivers. Which gives them an edge, but it's not because they're doing anything standard. They're doing some specific proprietary stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what's getting a lot of people upset. Right? So it was kind of the same thing, but in the time when the internet was trying to build on a bunch of standards, Microsoft was going outside of those and doing a lot of proprietary stuff, which really irritated a lot of people.
Understandable, but hey, that's what Microsoft does. That's the other thing about both of those hooks. Like, that's what
That's what Microsoft did.
That is true. Yes, they have changed.
They have embraced standards so hard to where I think it's hurting them more than it's helped. I think it's helping them.
I don't know.
They're putting Linux inside of Windows 10. Where you could actually run Linux stuff inside the OS.
I know, and that's beautiful because to me, it's like someone was like, well, why do you want to use Linux? So it's like, you don't understand the power of Bash. And then it's like, well, you can do that in Windows now. The f*** am I going to ever go to that thing then? I'm out of driver hell now. You know, it's awesome. It's a great idea. Like, I love the aspect of Microsoft, because Microsoft makes money off of Office, you know, and trying to keep, and they've got their subscription. Well, they make money off of Office and subscription.
And the servers.
And servers.
That's where they make all their cash.
Yeah. And they're trying to be like Apple and be like a subscription-based operating system. You know?
They always wanted to do that. They've always wanted to do subscription-based applications. They've just never been able to kind of make it work, but now they can with the the way the internet has been embraced and actually subscription software is starting to be embraced, they were like, finally, we could do what we've always wanted to do.
Right.
And other people are doing the same thing, too. A lot of people are doing, like, Adobe, you know, they switched all of their software over to subscription-based software.
Yeah, I've got to get better in PowerShell this year. That's actually one of my New Year's resolutions, to get better in PowerShell this year.
I was actually working on a PowerShell issue today, as a matter of fact.
I haven't started on it. I've started working on PowerShell stuff, so I'll get to it.
PowerShell is great, though. Let me tell you, PowerShell is powerful, and it is awesome.
All right, I'll take your word for it. I don't. Okay, honestly, like I bet it is. My biggest jump into it is because I don't use it, and it's like I have to jump into something that like complete noob into something again. And it's like,
I understand completely. But because it kind of passed me by a little bit too, because I was always doing. So I would do scripting and just regular DOS scripting for a long time, and then I got into another area where I was more focused on a specific thing that didn't really need PowerShell for a long time, and now it's all PowerShell based. So I kind of got behind the curve on it.
Yeah.
And now I'm scrambling to catch up, but it's still coding. It's still, once you know how to code, all you need to learn is the syntax. That's true with any language. You learn the code, or you learn how programming works, right? If you don't just learn a language, you're actually learning how to program. That's the way you should be doing it, because then you know how to code in any language. You just pick up the syntax and you just roll right into it. How do I do an if then? How do I do a for next? How do I do case statements? All that stuff, once you know what they're for and how they're used, it doesn't matter what language you're using. And that's all PowerShell is basically a programming language. It's a powerful scripting programming type of language. That's really all it is. So once you know how to do that, it doesn't really matter. You just learn the syntax, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because I'm with you. I did command line. You know, I can do CMD, and I just like, screw it. I just do it in DOS. Or if I really can't do it, since I did mostly with networking, I could get away with just making shell scripts. It's easy, you know. But if I have to mess
right, so but here's the difference, right? So when you're doing a shell script or a DOS script. To do one thing, you have to write a bunch of code to kind of make this happen.
Yes.
In PowerShell, there's already a command to do that. They've already written the scripting for you. You just access the PowerShell command that they've made available for you to do the work that you would have to try and write from scratch to make happen. That's where the power comes in, because you're not having to reinvent the wheel on things that people do all the time with PowerShell.
Yeah, there's sometimes a lot of that, or just like when you just, because when you're just trying to write simple shell scripts, you're like, I just wanted to do this, you know, or I just wanted to, like, I want to push updates, something don't push up, if something doesn't get update, tell me, or if when things finish update, tell this.
And if you don't know this already, if you're a Windows admin, like Wicked Kinder says, he's always done small enterprise systems. Script Center. Microsoft Script Center is the best repository for scripts, not just PowerShell. They've got Visual Basic scripts. They've got all kinds of scripts. The guys who run Script Center are some of the funniest men you'll ever meet. Inside some of their code that they've done is some of the funniest jokes you've ever read.
Oh, wow.
They're hilarious, and the community has gathered around them, and they are submitting code after code after code to this repository. You can go there and just about find anything you want to do. Somebody's already written something for you. Take it, modify it as you want, and you go.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. Hey, that's like honestly, that's how I learned scripts, was looking just like, I need to do this thing. Right, and then I look at someone else's script, like, okay, this is how you do it. Then I would just read their script and like, okay, how did they make X do X, you know, do Y? And I would read.
It's the best way to learn it. Yes, it's the best. Once you have a little bit of a background, that's the best way to learn, especially a new syntax for a language. Watch what other people have done already that's successful, and you're not technically stealing. You're just learning the process so that you can do it yourself.
Yeah.
You're sort of stealing.
It's not stealing. It's okay. It's not stealing. The code's still there. It's just code. It's math. Effing code.
Code is free, man. Code should be free and shared.
Yeah. Code should be free and shared, man. Okay. All right. It's open up on the internet, dude. Use. Oh, man. All right. So, I want to keep going, but I can't keep talking.
We'll save that for the other podcast, the tech podcast.
Yeah, I can't keep. Yeah,
going to do.
Yeah, which I am going to do because, like, I kind of do. I think we may just want to do like maybe we should just do like small tech projects on it. Like we just get on and do tech projects. That'd be fun.
Yeah, you could do like the first half talking about the latest news and just have general roundtable discussion, and then say, okay, now we're going to start the project, and we just do a project based. Part of it.
Because I really do want to sit down and take this board that I have right here and get it ready for Christy. It's a, this is a 2.4 gigahertz Wi-Fi tuner board. That's what this board is meant for. And what I wanted to do was build her to it and put on a better antenna. And so Christy will be able to get better Wi-Fi while she's at work.
We'll just order a bunch of Raspberry Pis and have a lot of fun.
Well, that works too. We could do this too, but isn't this more fun on the board? Do it, stupid board.
Oh, I want breadboards, man. I don't even know if you can buy them anymore.
What? I brought breadboards the other day.
Oh, did you? No, I'm talking about more of the these white breadboards where you actually had wire to wire spots. And you can build it that way, and
yeah,
so you're
breadboard.
Not doing the you're not doing the file the
like this
the foil and stuff in them.
With this,
right?
See the cam breadboard.
I have to see it first. There you talk. Okay, yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. You get this all the time. You get from Raspberry Pi stuff.
Okay, so see, I used to go to Radio Shack for that stuff, and you can't go to Radio Shack for that stuff anymore. It's so annoying to me. I liked going in and just touching it and looking at it. And I wish that's like
see,
the one. Fry's does a little bit of it.
Yeah, Fry's does.
They don't really embrace it like Radio Shack used to do. And I just miss touching the tactile thing.
You know what always sucked for me? Because growing up, I was at the tail end. I never really got the fun of going into Radio Shack and getting something cool. I never got that. When I really started going to Radio Shack, right? They were mostly just doing cell phones and pagers and stuff like that. So like, I never really got to that cool part of Radio Shack. You know, it was like
when it was,
and you know, when I got my computer parts, I went to swap meets, you know, and stuff like that. So I never really got to go to that. Oh man, we went to Radio Shack, got these cool parts. To me, it was like, man, I must have been a cool Radio Shack, man. I need to do that.
They were the cool Radio Shack, so they just kind of faded out of existence.
You know?
I remember, they weren't making the money anymore.
Yeah, I remember when someone was telling me all this about Radio Shack, and I saw one in a mall, and I was like, oh, it's a freaking Radio Shack. Oh, my God. I went in there and like, what the fuck is this? These are lies.
Yeah.
Pager
no,
lies.
I remember the day I went into Radio Shack and was like, where's the good stuff? We got it back in the back. We have to go ask for it. Got the special key code or something. What's going on here, you know? And they're like, no, we just, you know, we don't do as much of that anymore. They still had like a little place in the back where you could buy transistors and resistors and all the fun stuff, but it was smaller and just not the same.
Kinder, got another people, one of these people showing their age. I've never got into the hardware side of things, even though my start in IT was soldering together Mark 4 terminal adapter for SCO Unix paper. Whoa, paper white terminals.
No, see, I still get them beat. And I'll just say this, and I win. I know it already.
What?
I worked on radar systems that were vacuum tube ran.
See, like, when Ryan Ull keeps talking about a computer, I always, you know, picture when you was like, I remember when I was working at my first computer and you were, like, winding it up.
I had to power it with a pedal, like the old sewing machines. That's how we ran it.
But anyways, like I said, yeah, you got, freaking old elders of the internet. Remember when everyone had were asked, "Which who are the
no,
men?"
No, when Somebody was talking about the internet, the age of the internet or whatever, the anniversary of the internet, and they're talking about Tim Berners-Lee, the person who invented the internet. I'm like, no.
No.
You guys don't understand. He did not invent the internet. He invented markup language for websites.
Yes.
That's what he invented.
Correct.
That's not the internet.
Correct.
That's how you view the internet, maybe, but that's not how.
How?
That's not the internet.
How
the fact was really funny is they try to say the government invented the internet when the government fought tooth and nail for TCP/IP to become the standard routing protocol. They did not want TCP/IP to be they got overridden by the education systems and the other people companies who were coming on board at the time.
Yeah, and the IEEE. Yep. They actually, the United States government kept doing this, and they came up with a standard, and they all agreed on a standard, and this is what we're going to use, and the government goes like, no, we don't want to use that. Fuck your system. This is better.
I said, yeah, we're going to do what we want. And that's why people think that the internet is a testament of government stuff. No.
Yep.
The internet is a Wild West show, and it always has been, and should still be. Unfortunately, it's not anymore. But that's what made it the great, because the best things won out.
Yeah.
Most of the time. Not all the time.
Yeah, not all the time.
But for the most part, I mean, Cisco inventing routers, I mean, that was, if it wasn't for what Cisco did, there would have been no internet. We'd try to be direct line token ring nonsense that's out there. There's no routing. It would have been a mess. We were going to run out of IP addresses, if you remember, 15 years ago. And because someone invented the ability to do, you know, the I can't remember the name of it now.
NAT and subnetting.
NATing. I keep wanting to say NAP.
NAP. Doing the network allocation tables.
The NATing allowed people to have their own local IP addresses and still be able to function, you know, on the internet, so we didn't run out of IP addresses.
Yeah, and the idea that you can subnet a subnet, which is even more ridiculous.
Oh yeah, subnets used to be class A, B, or C. You had, you know, a very different way of doing it, and when you could subclass those, you were able to just really have it. That's when ISPs really took off. Is when they realized they could do that.
Yeah, I remember like when I was learning subnetting, and then someone goes like, "Okay, now we're gonna subnet the subnet." I was like, dear God, who needs this many addresses?
You're gonna create a black hole, man.
You don't need this many IP addresses, and you know, and it's. But then again, when you really get out there, you realize like you can use as many addresses as you want. You know, you could just be wasteful sometimes in some places, or sometimes you got to.
Some places are wasteful. There are companies who have class A's.
Mm-hmm.
They own all of those IP addresses, and they use a tenth of them.
Yep.
Maybe. Yeah. So people are trying to go to those guys and buy those IP address blocks, and they're making money just selling those off. Really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's why when you look at what happened with IPv6, you're like, IPv6 is really cool because it does open up a whole thing where you can have every single device everywhere have its own IP address.
Stop trying to make IPv6 happen. It ain't going to happen.
But
stop
it's just,
it.
It's just not going to get adopted for a long time. It's just not going
to
happen.
Not going to happen. Stop trying to make it happen. IPv6, never going
to happen. Because now we're going, we don't want every single light switch have its own external IP address, because if you do that, you're easily hacked. If you do it behind a NAT and have your own local IP addresses doing it, then you're secure and safe. It makes more sense. So you don't want that to happen.
I'm now confused. So no. Up with NATs, down with IPv6, because no one wants to like, hey, ping my IP address. Okay, what's your address? FS.26. No one wants that. Everyone wants a simple address of 192.168.1.1. That's what people want.
No. You give each one of your IPv6 addresses a separate DNS entry. And you just give him the DNS name.
No, because I don't want to come up with names, because I come up with stupid names.
Hall Light Switch.
Oh, that's dumb. That's kitchen a dumb light, name. Kitchen no, light. No one wants to ping that. No one wants to ping Kitchen Light, okay?
Refrigerator.
No one's going to ping that. They're going to ping, like, ping Smurfette, ping Left Smurfette, or it's going to ping Easter, ping Chicago. I'm going to come up with stupid names to things, because I would be on 10 pots of coffee when I'm programming this network. I don't need to put names into things.
Oh, the names are cool because everybody always used names that were more specific. Like, there was a book I read where in the examples of naming of servers, they were naming characters out of Terry Pratchett's novels. Hmm. And I'm like, yes, I got this guy. This guy's my guy. I'm reading his books from now on.
I used to name servers and cars like I used to name them motor cars or cars. So yeah, I'd had like routers. It was like this thing's LT351, and then I had the 4AGE, which they look like regular, like just like to some people just serial number nothing, but to me they were just car motors that I would just know. Okay, yeah. So that's just me.
We have gone a little off the track.
Yeah, just a little. Just a little off the track. To me, I blame all the cold medicine. So I don't know. So you got to find an excuse for yourself, Ryan Hill. So go ahead. Let's wrap this sucker up in a bow, so I can stop talking and I can breathe.
So wrapping up in a bowl. Yeah, the industry's going to figure this stuff out. We're going to be fine. No need to worry. But we have to be sure we are taking care of ourselves, and we are forcing companies to think about security, because a lot of companies don't. That's like the last thing they think about. So the people like Microsoft and the people like Google and Apple who are actually looking out for security because they need to for their clients, thank them for doing the work. They're not doing as good a job as we'd like to see, but they're doing something and they're trying and they're going to get there eventually, I think. It's a constant battle, but we're working on it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, security is like a lot of these things, a lot of these IoT devices are the last thing on their mind, especially if they're fly-by-night Kickstarter projects, you know. But I also feel bad for these Kickstarter projects, because a lot of that culture is based off of because of the terrible laws of the United States. I can't think of the three-letter agency that puts the regulations off of investing or vesting into properties, because if he was able to just makes it easier for people to just buy shares and invest into companies, you could probably get Kickstarter would probably be a better place, because you'd actually be establishing bigger companies and allowing people to easily to buy and sell investing in shares into companies. I can't remember the term of it right now, because it hurts right here. So thank you for tuning in to Low Key. Well, what did you
FTC?
Is it FTC?
I'm not
Federal Trade Commission. Sure. Yes. Yeah, because it's all like it's a huge mess of trying to trade and buy and sell shares, which would be so much easier because if someone just said like, hey, you know, like, because the whole reward tier would be different, because it's like, no, you donate $100, you get this many shares into this company, and you will get this paid back. So you'll be able to actually invest in the companies instead of like, hey, we'll give you this goofy t-shirt, you know, you possibly get this project. No, you can actually get investments and, you know, people, you know, get more things. Woo! Lucky Dar, thank you for the 100 bits. Thank you. Sitting there on cold medicine, got 100 bits. Maybe I should do more cold medicine. I'm not gonna do more cold medicine on air. I did enough. Thanks for 100 bits. But yeah, this is the thanks. Thank you, Paul, for jumping in with the FTC comment. Escalaja applause. 1,000 bits. Thank you, Escalaja applause, for the 1,000 bitties.
Worth every penny.
That was very delayed there on that cheers note. But thank you everybody for the bits. Thank you for tuning in to Yes, I could buy a lot of cold medicine with that. Yes, I can. And I'd like to thank you guys. I used to took some of the that, and I could probably go buy some, like, another two-pack of the NyQuil DayQuil two-packers, you know, or go to the thing and get my gigantic thing of Alka-Seltzer again. So I'd like to thank you, everybody, for doing that. Hopefully I'll be up walking around to be able to go to Triton this Friday. If I'm not at Triton this Friday, hopefully, because I just tried for myself another, just trying to rest up so I can go to Brick World this Saturday, which is the Lego place at the fairgrounds this Saturday. I'm hoping to go to Brick World, which, if I can get a steady internet connection in Brick World, I'll probably stream, while I'm at Brick World with, Gunther and Meatloaf.
If you don't show up to Liberty and Chill this week, I'll find my way to your house.
It's gonna find me.
I'll just knock on doors until I find the right one.
Just gonna keep knocking on doors. Just gonna go up to random places looking for my car, like, yes, is this, looking for a Mr. Princess Twilight Sparkle? Yeah. Which, the nurse that, not the nurse, but the doc, the dietitian who looked over Ruby today, she had a, rarity pin on, so I was like, I was really happy about that. So yeah, so anyways, thank you for tuning in to Low Key Wall. I'll see you guys this Friday, Friday or Saturday at Brick World, or next week for Tuesday for regular schedule. We are libertarians. I can finally bounce back from this cold and go on strong. I'm ready to re-up on some, because I haven't seen Chris in a long time, and I miss him. And I miss doing Wall, and I miss, you know, so, I don't know, it's, you know, I kind of enjoyed this small little vacay, but, you know, I miss it. I miss seeing people, you know, because I like to stay away from, because one thing I'm going to leave everyone away with, if you're sick, stay home. Don't go out and get people sick. Just stay at home. It's that easy. You know, be sick at home. Don't go out. Stay home. All right.
You have my permission to ignore that.
No. Don't listen to Escala Jalplaz, okay?
No. You specifically.
I can't ignore my own advice. A hypocrite to think I am. Okay?
Like all of us.
All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. See you guys. Thank you.